Message is this morning, promotion for some folks. There's a time of promotion in the kingdom of God. There's a time of uplifting in the kingdom of God. I believe today that God wants to bring you and put some joy in your heart and let you realize that promotion does not come. This is what the scripture says in Psalms 75. Hang on just a second. In verse 6, it says, "For promotion neither comes from the east nor the west nor from the south, but from God." And God is so ready to pour out upon His church. He's ready to pour out and pull up some folks that you may have been on the fence. You may have been trying to figure out life. You may have been trying to figure out what's going on in this world. Well, welcome aboard if you're trying to figure out what's going on in the world, because nobody knows. There's some people here this morning that are ready for promotion in their hearts. They're ready to be lifted into the kingdom of God instead of just following after the things of the world. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God also is ready for you. He's ready to reach into your heart and pour out into your heart a freshness. He is ready for you. Are you ready for what God has in store for you? God is ready for you. And I don't have that PowerPoint up, but that's okay. It's amazing to me how many things go wrong on a Sunday morning. I don't know what was going on in the back, but I don't know if you noticed over here. I think maybe one of the commodes went overflowed or something, and we was getting signals, and in the middle of worship, I was going, "Hey, turn this on. Go over there and help them." I don't know. Anyway, we got all kind of technical issues, but that's okay. God still reigns no matter what all our technical issues might be. If we want, there it is. Oh, you had to click the button. The mouse wasn't working. You was on the wrong mouse. I got you. God's ready for you. And if we want promotion, we must go after it. We must invest. Say invest. We must invest into the kingdom of God. God wants to pour out into your life a freshness and just a washing away of the stuff, of the old stuff, of the things. I don't know about you, but we can collect some things. Have you ever just realized that you've collected things as you live in life and you find yourself burdened down with stuff and things that you're carrying around and you don't even know how it got in you, and you lay down at night and the brain just keeps on swirling all around, and all of these thoughts keep popping in your head, and then you're thinking, "I'm going to forget that," and next thing you know, it comes back. And am I the only one here that goes through that? You got some issues. But we need to learn to invest into the kingdom of God. My question is, will we invest into the kingdom of God? I don't know, again, about you, but I happened to watch on the news the other day, and they were talking about, I guess that was 2 days ago, Black Friday, right? And they were showing you all of the people that were like lined up early in the morning to get, you know, a $5 savings on something. And I'm wondering, as I watched that, I thought to myself, could you imagine? Just think with me just for a minute. Could you imagine if we realized the value of our Lord Jesus Christ? Excuse me. Could you imagine if we would just a little bit realize the value of our Lord Jesus Christ? How much more should we prepare, say prepare, to come into His presence with thanksgiving in our heart? I said this a long time ago. We went to they had a revival over in Florida, and people were lined up outside, and they were waiting to get in, and I was like, see, this is what it's really about, because this is some folks that really knew the value of Jesus. We got folks today that said, "Well, I don't know if I'm going to church today. I sneezed twice this morning. I might not be able to go." Yep, there's the nose is running. I blew it. I'm staying home. We look for, never mind, that's not no one here. I'm just saying that sometimes what if we would do what we know we should do, how much better off we would be, huh? How much better off we'd be. Things seem, you know, when you've done all you can, And it seems like you can't get do any more. Sometimes it feels like the world just dumps on you some more. And you're wondering, why do I have to go through all of that? How many of you know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, had a few bad days? He did have a few bad days. Yes, he did. Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. It says this, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. You see, sometimes we have to go through some stuff. I know I say this a lot around here, but because sometimes I think some folks just don't get it. We don't get it that, you know, it does, life is tough for some folks. And you do have to go through some stuff, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus said, Father, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior said, hey, guess what? You know, it might get tough, but nevertheless, not my will be done, your, if it's anyway. Promotion comes to those who keep on going. Say, keep on going. We got to keep on going. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. He's looking for some folks that are ready to push through the stuff, push through life, push through all of the problems, the trials. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is living inside of us. I don't know if that gets you excited, but there's some folks that when we realize how awesome our Father is and when we realize that the same power that He has, He has poured out into His church, into the body of Christ. He's poured out a fresh anointing into each and every one of our lives as we reach, say reach, as we strive, as we go for what God has in store for us. Oh, we can just, you know, kind of sit back and just, you know, maintain. But I'm here to tell you that when we're maintaining, we're actually losing ground because we don't just maintain. I don't know about you, but the further we get away from God, the further we will fall. Before you know it, you'll find yourself making excuses for this and that, and we'll find ourselves falling further and further down the rabbit hole. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside of each and every one of us. Did you hear the prophetic word that came out and said, you're called, God has called you? Well, in my notes this morning, I'd let you know this. He says, we are called. God is calling out for each and every. John chapter 14 and verse 12 says this, most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is saying to us, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. You see, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in each and every one of us. And He has poured out His Spirit into us. And He's telling us, the same works that I'll do, you're going to do also. And I know there's a lot of Christians right now going, yeah, well, I'm not doing. Well, that's because we're so saturated that we don't realize how blessed we are, like we heard this morning talking about living in a land of plenty. And we don't realize just how blessed we are until you go visit a few other countries and you do see folks that don't even have anything and you realize, wow, am I blessed? And we realize that, you know, there are folks in our own community that needs food that we need to reach out to, you know, and pour out into their lives. How many of you know some, and I say this too quite a bit, how many of you know some folks that need Jesus? Oh, but I got plenty of Jesus sitting in my house. I got 4 or 5 Bibles. I got 6 Bibles. But I'm not going to give one of them away because I might need it. Well, then come see me and I'll give you one to give somebody. Amen. The works that I do, you'll do also. And the greater works than these will you also do because I go to the Father. Watch this. And whatever you ask in my name. And sometimes we don't read scripture and realize what they're saying when they're writing this stuff and who they're writing it to. He says, when you ask something in my name, I'll do it. Now, let me explain to you, because sometimes we don't get that, because I know many of us have said, Lord, I've been asking for a new car. I've been asking for a new motor. I've been asking for a new boat. I still ain't got it. Well, you see, because we're not asking the way we should be asking. We ask amiss is what the scripture says, but also we don't ask for what, Lord, give me that I might give somebody else. And when you have stuff and you start giving it out, guess what the Lord does? He pours back into you. You'll never run out. When you start giving out what you got, you'll never run out. God is not a, he don't owe anybody anything. When you just start giving out what you have, the more. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks that think financially right away. They're talking about, oh, he's fixing to take an offering. No, we're not going to do anything like that. We already did that. We do that right off the bat, first thing in the morning. That way, you know, you can give out of the honesty of your heart, not out of making you feel bad. We don't want you to do that. We want you to give out of your heart. But now I'm not talking about financial gain at all. I'm talking about your spiritual, build your kingdom. Where are we building our treasures? Are we building them on earth or are we building them in heaven? Do we realize that we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Do you know that he owns it all anyway? He don't need anything. So don't worry about all of that stuff, but realize that what he's looking for is just a true heart. Somebody that will truly love somebody in Jesus' name. Watch what he says. Whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do, that my Father, what? That my Father may be glorified. You see, your bank account's not glorifying God in heaven, but your lifestyle is. You see, because it's what we're doing in our life that glorifies God. Are we giving God? Are we giving people Jesus? Do we give people Jesus? Do we give them Jesus? Mercy, love, compassion. Have we ever looked up the names of Jesus? What does his name mean? Oh, everything. I am, he says, everything you might possibly need or want. When we give people Jesus, it changes us. We can't be the same. You can't be the same person once you taste and see how good God is. You can't be the same person you used to be. Oh, you might try to dabble in that old nature every now and then. You might say, oh, you know, I think I'll do this weekend and try this. And then you'll find yourself, boy, it's just not as fun. It's just not as, there's no more joy in it. There's no pleasure. And then you'll go even further and try to get further into, and then you find yourself saying, oh, Jesus, let me come back home. Let me come back home, Lord. I'm stupid. I'm stupid, Lord. Here I am again, you know. And then the Lord says, I know you're stupid. Come on. No. He just said, come on, baby, I love you anyway. You know what? I knew you were going to do this. I knew you was going to mess up. That's why I sent Jesus. So that way you can come and cry and crawl back up into my lap and say, I love you, Jesus. How many of you think it's a great thing to always be able to go home? You crawl up in mama's lap, crawl up in daddy's lap and say, Dad, I need a hug. And he says, I'm with you, buddy. I got you back. I'm right here with you, man. And we serve such a merciful, patient, awesome God. Aren't you glad that somebody like me ain't God? Because, you know, or Bob, you know, because we'd make you burn, you know. We'd want you to suffer, you know. You ever have somebody do you something wrong and you want them to suffer a while, you know. I'm going to forgive them, but I want them to suffer for a little while. I want them to know they did me wrong. Nobody hears like that. I know we're talking. But God is so much ready for what he's got in store for us. We got to get in contact with him. Most assuredly, we got to find out what God has in store for us. The devil is a liar. I'm going to have to cough a few times this morning. I have a little chest congestion going on, and I finally found something that works. It's called Robitussin. Never used it before. Imagine that, huh? I just figured it out in life, huh? Some of us are slow. Anyway, the devil's a liar, and he will say to us, you can't do that. Have you ever heard him whisper in your ear saying, you can't do that. You can't be a witness. You can't give a testimony. You aren't good enough. I saw what you did last weekend, and I know that you're not ready. How many of you know he lies? You see, because we all... Edge Ginger, there she is. She was worshiping this week and she realized, wow, woe is me, for I am undone. Like King Uzzah. King? Nope. in the year that King Uzziah died. So Isaiah, there we go. I had to say the scripture before I could get it. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Woe is me, for I am undone. I dwell in a man in the midst of people with unclean lips. How many of you know that that's where we all are? We all dwell in the land of people of unclean lips. I'm not just talking about the people at work that cuss at you. I'm talking about we all have things we say that we regret. Have you ever said something you said, wished I wouldn't have said that? Well, guess what? The devil will pick up that stuff and he'll try to run with it and try to beat you down and beat you with a stick. And I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. And he's going to try his hardest to make you think that you can't. Well, I want to tell you a little story. You ever heard of that little story about the train that thought he could? He thought he could. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's another different story. I'm going to put a Christianity into it. The little Christian who thought he could. I think I can. I think maybe next year I think I can. I think I can. I'll do better next year. I'll do a little better. And the next year I'll do a little better. And the next year I'm going to do a little better. And the next year I'm going to do a little better. And before you know it, you're 3 or 4 years into your Christianity and you look back at who you used to be and you said, wow, I knew I could. I knew I could. I knew I could. I knew I could. How many of you can look back over the years of your life where you pushed through the stuff and you said, I think I can. Oh, this is hard stuff. And then you look back and you said, wow, look who I used to be and look where I'm at now. I think I can. Well, God wants you to know that you can through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word says, I can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. The attacks from Satan will come. He comes and he comes and he comes. And I want to know, I put this question on Facebook this week. I said, I wonder what doors have we opened up in our life that we should have never opened? Have we opened up the pit of hell sometime and looked down in that and said, should I jump? Should I go ahead and dabble in the stuff? Or should I learn to shut the door? I'm here to tell you that it's time for us to shut the doors and get away, as far away as possible from that stuff. Watch what the Word says. Luke chapter 10 and 19. Behold you, I give you the authority. I'm just going to stop there a minute. Can you say authority? This is Jesus saying he's given us the authority to trample on scorpions and serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. You ever just stop and read scripture and realize what it says? He gave us power, what? Over all the powers of the enemy. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. The devil just got the best of me. That's because you was opening the wrong door. You got next to that pit of hell and you opened up the door and you thought, well, I could just, nobody's looking. I could just. And then you find yourself deep in and you're wishing you wouldn't have got in. And then you're wishing you would find a way out. And then the Lord says, just turn around. I'm right here. He pulls us up out of the miry clay and sets our feet upon the rock. Hallelujah. He's so merciful and good. Watch this. Over all the powers of the enemy. And some things. Oh, y'all didn't read it. And nothing. It says nothing shall by any means hurt you. Oh, but wait a minute. I got a sciatic nerve that's been kicking in and my legs are killing me. And I got a bad back and my feet are hurting and I got diabetes. But nothing will hurt you. You see, you're thinking in the natural again. You're going to have to go through some natural things while we're living. But he says nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, you see, this is where we've got to learn to live, say live, in the Spirit. We've got to learn to live in the Spirit. Quit kissing your wife over there. You're distracting me. I'm just messing with you. He's been working hard or whatever. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that these spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name, say name, is written in the book of life. Oh my goodness. You see, we can get caught up even in religion. We can get caught up in doing stuff and not realize that it's not about what we're doing in the natural, but what we're doing in the spirit. And God says, because you have been doing the right things in the spirit, I've got your name written in the Lamb's book of life. And when the devil says you can't, you can say, I think I can. I think I can. Say, I think I can. You see, because sometimes when you get to a certain point, after you get to that certain point, you look back and you said, wow, I knew I could. And then you start living in the victory cycle. Say victory cycle. You start realizing that, you know what? It's not about going around that mountain like the Israelites did over and over 40 years. They went around the mountain. Well, we just got to try to find out what God's will is. If God would just tell me. Yeah, liar. Because he's been telling you. Straighten up, live right, run the race to win the prize. Read the Bible and find out what he's saying. It's real easy. It's real plain and blunt and straight and to the point. He's not beating around the bush. It's real easy to find God's will. Quit doing the stupid stuff and start doing the good stuff. That's it. That's how easy it is. Do the good. Say do the good stuff. Quit doing the bad stuff. It's that easy. Christianity is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. He'll give us directions. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us understanding. But along the journey, how many of y'all had a turkey in the oven this week? Anybody? Along the journey, you might get burned a little. You might get hurt a little bit in the natural. I reached in that oven, grabbed that turkey pan with potholders, pulled it out, set it on my table, grabbed on that lid with a potholder, flipped it over, and burnt the tar out of my finger. You would think you would get it once, right? Whew, grabbed me a piece of ice, stuck it on there. Wow! I cried. Carol didn't care. She didn't even know it. I'm just teasing. 20 minutes later, I was time to baste that turkey. I ain't going to do it again, right? Y'all don't do things twice, right? Took that turkey out with the potholders, put it down with the potholders, picked that thing up on this hand. Said, this hand's hurting. I'm not going to do it on this hand. I'm going to be more careful. Boom! Burned it again. 3 times. I burnt myself. Now, why am I saying that to you? Sometimes in life, we do things stupid. We do things that we don't mean to do it, but we do it anyway. We burn ourselves and we say, I didn't want to do it again. What's wrong with me? Mistakes happen. The enemy positions us. He gives us opportunities to fall out of grace. Uh-oh. Watch this. Jesus. Y'all know the story of Jesus, right? How many of you know it's time for us to tell Satan we're redeemed? Say, I'm redeemed. Mm-hmm. Jesus was telling us a story. How did he overcome the enemy? Jesus told Satan 3 times, it is written. Excuse me. He tells him about the lust of the eyes. He tells him about the lust of the flesh. He tells him about the pride of life. That's the 3 sins that mankind falls into. When we're under the attack and we will be in the process of living life, we'll find ourselves getting burnt. And then God says, wait a minute, I got a solution for you. It's called the Word of God. Say Word of God. When Satan was finished rebuking Jesus, I mean, when Jesus finally rebuked Satan and said, you know, devil, you just got to get out of here, right? He tells him 3 times it's written, and then Satan comes around, and Jesus says, listen, it's time for you just to go. But watch this, Luke chapter 4 and 13. Watch what the devil does. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed to him from him until an opportune time. That devil does not just stop aggravating and coming back after you. Just like this right now, he tempted Jesus. But he said, I'm going to come back and tempt him some more a little later. You see, sometimes we get the victory. How many of you got the victory? Amen? We get the victory and we say hallelujah. And we leave church and we're pumped up until we get to the red light and somebody cuts us off. Woo! There it goes. We done lost our religion. That dirty, no good, rotten. But the devil's going to come back as we will open the door and tell Satan, hey, buddy, it's so good to see you. You know what? It's amazing how many times we do things where we will just open up the wrong door at the wrong time. Anybody? And the devil tries to take out your joy, and he does. When we start opening up that door too often, the joy leaves, the satisfaction, the happiness, the misery of life just starts compounding in us. But I'm here to tell you, it's time. Say it's time. Oh, it's time to start opening up the right door. When you're in the wrong place, when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, realize that God's doing something. He's ready. He's right there behind you. And he's saying, turn around, baby. I'm with you. If you'll just turn around, I'll give you a way out. Say a way out. How many of you need a way out right now? Father, we speak a word of way out, Lord. We know that you have the way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we just come before you right now and we ask you to pour out a fresh anointing to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Watch this. Again, promotion is coming to some folks that are looking, asking and seeking for God's will. Psalms chapter 75, again, I'm going to read it one more time. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge that puts down one and he sets up another. God is preparing us for life. When you get burnt, just turn around and say, I'm not going to do that again. Although we might. But make plans not to. How many of you know I never planned to get burnt after the first time? I didn't plan to get burnt the first time. Let me just say it that way. And each time I thought I was going to be a little bit more careful. Have you ever tried to be a little careful and you still found yourself doing the wrong thing and you're saying, how'd I get in here again? What? How does this happen? Why? Well, that's life. We go through things. But. God is showing us. He's teaching us. He's molding us. He's making us a new creation. He's working in us. He's pulling away the bad. He's nipping off. He's pruning. Huh? That's the word. He's pruning away all of the stuff that we don't need. Have you ever read the book of Job? Have you ever read all of the things Job went through? And then his friend said, you know, this is what's amazing to me. A lot of Christians do this to other Christians. That's what really blows your mind, is you would think they'd read the book of Job and they'd know not to do this. But sometimes they don't read, so they don't know, so they do it. Whew. You know what they do? They say, oh, look at your life. You having trouble. You're sick. Oh, you got problems. There's something wrong in your life. You must be sinning. You must have some secret hidden sin that God's punishing you for. Woo! He's going to get you. Have you read Job? He went through all of that stuff just because it's life. You got to go through some stuff. People you know are going to die. People you know are going to get sick. You are going to get sick. And things do happen in the natural bodies. But we serve the resurrection life. We serve the King of Kings. Don't give up. Did you realize what happened to Job's friends? I'm here to tell you, Job's friends got some problems that a little later on. Have you ever read your Bible? Did you know the story of Joseph? All of the things he went through, and he was always in God's will, but he had to go through. Say through. That's my favorite word, through. It really is. I love it because you know what? I know I had to go through a bunch of things on the process in the journey of life, trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong, who's right, who's wrong, what preachers are right. Man, there's so many things in this world that we've got to evaluate and go through and study and figure out. Have you figured it out yet? If you do, come tell me. But this is what I've learned. The Lord just told me, run with the endurance, the race that I set before you. Get in the Word of God and find out what I want you to know. Because you know what? You could read the Bible from cover to cover 8 times a year, have your program, and you know exactly what's when, where, how. But until we apply, say apply, until we learn to start applying the Word of God. Sorry about that. I think I took it off. When we start learning to apply the Word of God in our life, and then we manifest the glory of the Lord. When we live for Jesus, when we tell somebody, Jesus loves you, and we know it because he loves me, and he's going to love you through me. Oh, no, I don't like him. Well, get over it, because you're going to be with him for eternity. And I'm here to tell you, this is amazing to me. If there's a type of person that you don't like short people, fat people, tall people, skinny people, or ugly people, or good-looking people, or arrogant people or mean people, you might as well get over it, because God's going to continuously bring you around and around to that same kind of person over and over until you learn to witness to them, love them, and then you realize that, wow, this whole problem, Lord, was with me. It wasn't with that person, because it takes all kind. If you look around the world, it takes all kind. There's people out there actually driving Harley Davidsons. I don't know why, but it takes all kind. I'm just messing with you. God is so good. He's so awesome. Joseph knew how to overcome. He didn't give up when he got thrown in the pit. He didn't give up when he went to jail. He didn't give up when he was accused of fooling around with Potiphar's wife. He didn't give up when the people in jail forgot him. He didn't give up when the people said, oh, well, you know, he didn't give up. Say, don't give up. You push through and you go for it. And what? And guess what? He was rewarded. And I'm here to tell you that God has promotion and reward for those who trust him, wait on him, follow him. Don't allow the devil to lie to you no more. Don't allow the enemy to pull you back. Don't allow listen to what the scripture says. Don't give up. Say, don't give up. Watch this, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. What? Don't despise. This is New Testament talking. This is in Hebrews. He's talking. This is new stuff. Son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. He's going to beat me. He's going to whip me. He's going to pull me into shape. Turn that phone off, Jerry. You can look at Cuba tomorrow. My son, don't despise the chastening of your pastor either. Don't be discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever been, you know, like you kind of just got down and out and you just, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going out back and eat worms. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a young boy, I had a dog. It wasn't even my dog. It was Noel's dog, I think, Duke. And I loved the dog. And I pulled up, and every time my mom would whip me or fuss at me, I'd go in the bedroom and say, nobody loves me but you, Duke. Nobody loves me. Anybody? Sometimes we feel that way. Nobody loves me, but Jesus Christ loves you. And if nobody else does, that's okay. That's enough. Because when we come into his presence and when we get into his presence, the word says that in his presence is fullness of joy. And when we come in, when you're sad, when you're discouraged, when you're frustrated, reach out, reach up and say, God, I need to open up the right door. And when I've opened up the right door, guess who's there? Jesus. Every time I open up that door, he's standing right there, and he's got this big smile on his face. And he says, I love you. I love you so much. Come here. I'm like, yes, Lord. I don't know about you, but I get excited in the presence of God. I really do. It thrills me when he tells me, come on up. Have you heard his voice? Do you know he's calling you? Say, call me, Lord. He's calling you, but you got to go open the door. You got to go open the door. Say, open the door. You got to go ask, seek, and knock after him, and he's there. Don't despise the chase of the Lord. Don't be discouraged. For when you are rebuked by him, for he who God loves, he chastens. He also scorns every son whom he receives. God's going to bring correction into your life when we're running away. When we get hard-headed. Anybody get hard-headed here and you're doing silly things, and I'm here to tell you that when we get there, realize that he's right there and he loves you and he's telling you, come on, get away from that devil. Get away. You don't need to be by him no more. I got something better for you. How many of you know he's got something better for you? Say me, Lord. He's pruning. He's taking away stuff. You know that song we sing around here? He gives and takes away. You know, when we first started singing that song, man, I kind of didn't like that. I was like, he takes away. Wait a minute, Lord, don't give me something and then take it away. But that's not what it's saying. See, he's given us his spirit, and he's taken away the worldly spirit. He's taken away the worldly lust. He's taken away the pride of life. He's taken away the frustration of trying to figure it all out and think you have to know it all. How many of you know some people that know it all? Don't raise your hand. Quit pointing to her. God gives, he's given, he's pruning, and he's taking away some stuff. And along the journey, when he's pruning and when he's cutting off the stuff that sometimes... Have you ever seen a fruit tree? You know, they say when you have a fruit tree, if you cut it, it bears more fruit. Excuse me. Sometimes we're not bearing enough fruit. Uh-huh. What? Just sometimes we're not bearing enough fruit. So we got to be pruned. We got to be cut. We got to cut the dead stuff off. And I don't know about you, but I just happen to do quite a bit of pruning around my house. I do have quite a few trees and things I like, and I'm trying to, you know, grow my own fruit, vegetables, everything. It ain't working. I'm not that good. But anyway, I'm learning. But I do learn that every year when I cut back all this stuff, I got all these dead branches all over the place. And then I got to go get the buggy and pick them all up and carry them and burn them. So this is what the Lord told me for you this morning. When you're cutting off the dead stuff, as he's cutting off the dead stuff, burn it up. Burn it up. Light it up. Burn it up. Let the Lord burn away the chaff and let it go away. Have you? Now, I know there's something called grafting, right? You can take and cut a branch and stick another live branch into that and graft it, right? You've heard of that. That's not what I'm talking about right here. Let me make this clear. What I am talking about is, can we take an old dead branch, pick it up, and try to attach it back to a live tree? But yet, many of us will try to pick up some of that dead stuff that the Lord's been pruning off of us and trying to hook it back up to that tree. You realize how silly that looks? Come on. Do you realize how silly, I'll just use that word. We're trying to make this dead thing grow again. Come on. And we're trying to make, boy, we just catch ourselves being silly and doing things. Move on. Burn up the stuff. But get away from that stuff. He gave his spirit to take away the desires of the evil one. He gave us his spirit, the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us in times of trouble. Whenever the enemy comes in and he's trying to make us think, well, you can just give it a good jab. It'll grow. Come on. Say, come on, Lord, help me. Let me burn this stuff away. Let me burn this stuff, Lord. Let me get away from this life. Let me get away from this things that are trying to pull me down. And do we know the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Yes, we do. I know that. I know anybody that comes here more than 1 week, you'll hear that at least once a week. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, take away your joy, your love, your trying his hardest to destroy us. But it's time for us. He gave his spirit to take away the desires even of doing evil things. I mean, you know, there's a place that when you think you could, you think you could, you think you could, and then you knew you could, and you looked back. I don't think there's anybody here.
I hope not. I better say I hope not.
That wants to kill somebody. I'm not a murderer. I don't think there's anybody here that wants to stab somebody. Well, you know, but I'll talk about them. Oh, did you see what Bill? I seen Bill at Claiborne Hill the other day. He's quit smoking. Amen. Hallelujah. But that wicked man, he's puffing on one of them vapor cigarettes. That's okay. He's trying. Amen. You know, I mean, we go through, but I ain't going to tell everybody. I know Bill's, he's still smoking. He just smoked. He ain't taking the tobacco no more. He's going to vapor.
Uh-oh, watch your tongue.
Yeah, let me just talk about him some more. See, we want to kill somebody, stab somebody. How about let's just get into God and love people through. Say through. Build a bridge, and you know what? If you know somebody is smoking, buy them a pack of vapor cigarettes. There you go. You want to talk about something? Do that. Do something good. Let me get off all that. I didn't have five people look at me with the evil eye. Listen to this. John chapter 6. Do not labor, huh? Do not labor for the food which perishes. You see what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we just get so caught up in trying to do things in this world. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but the food which endures to everlasting life, huh? Which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal on him. That means you. Say me. God has sealed us as Christians, as we gave our life to Jesus Christ, as we confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That sealed us into the kingdom of God. Now, let me just make this perfectly clear, because sometimes people don't get this. They think, oh, all I got to do is come up to the altar and cry. I'm here to tell you, I've seen a couple hundred, maybe more than that, people cry at the altar. Jesus, I love you. And then turn right back around and go out there and do the same thing they always been doing and come back another year later and cry. It ain't the crying. It's not the emotion that changes your heart. It's when you decide to change your heart and say, say repent. You see, the word repent means stop what you're doing, turn around, and I'm not going to do that no more. Now, if I slip, I got to get back up. Say, get back up. Tell your neighbor, get back up. You slip and you fall, you get back up and you keep running the race that was set before you. You see, God's got each and every one of us called to do a specific thing. You're not called, I say this quite a bit, you're not called to do what I do. And I'm not called to do what you do. So if I'm doing what you think I shouldn't be doing, that's because you're supposed to be doing it. Did you hear what I just said? If I'm not doing what you think I'm supposed to be doing, that's because you were supposed to be doing it, and you're trying to blame me for it. Look, he ain't doing that again. Well, the Bible says that as we come together, let each one come with a song, a hymn, a spiritual song, a hatha. You got a hatha? You got a hatha do. You have to do what God tells you to do. So when you come with your hatha. Because each and every one of us hatha do what God called us to do. Amen. Oh, you might be saying, well, you know, that's why a lot of people run from church to church. I'm going over here. They made me mad over there. I ain't going back to that church. I'm going over to this church. And then if they get there and that church, that pastor ain't doing it either. Well, I'll just go over to this other church. And he ain't doing it. There ain't no churches in the world ever doing what they're supposed to be doing anymore. That's because you were anointed to do it and you're not doing it.
Uh-oh.
Don't blame the pastor, the church, an elder, a deacon, or a church. That's because you, if you're seeing a need, uh-oh, if you see the need, I see a little piece of trash right here on the carpet. I'm coming down here to get it so nobody else will see it. I saw a need. You see a need? Fill it. Fill it. Fill it. Fill it. You saw some people in need today? Fill it. Oh, our church should be doing more. Did anybody tell you you're part of the church? If our church should be doing more, then God wants you to head that program up. Why? Not me. I ain't doing nothing. Come on. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's easy to point the finger. It's easy to say what other people are supposed to be. But you're sealed. Say, I'm sealed. God has sealed it. Some people cry about the name it and claim it game. If I see it, oh, God, I want that in Jesus' name. Amen. Name it, claim it, get it, grab it. They don't think about what you have to go through. You see, sometimes people come into church and they, oh, well, I've been here 2 weeks. I think I should be teaching a Sunday school class, Pastor. Yeah. No. We don't know who you are. We don't know what you might be teaching. You might be teaching heresy. You might be teaching Satanism. I don't know you. Well, you should know. I'm a child of the Most High God. Come around a while and we'll figure it out. Promotion comes from not from the east nor the west, but from God. Promotion comes not from a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a church. See, all you, so if somebody's just looking for a label, we can label you with anything. But when we decide to follow Jesus and you do what God's called you to do, God labels you. He sealed you. Schmack. I'm a child of the Most High God. When I go to Walmart, when they say, good morning, I say good morning back and they go, because, you know, they're paid to say good morning, right? And most of us know that, so we walk right past them. They just paid to say that. We'll say good morning back to them. Say, good morning, God bless you. How about a great day? What? Oh, you one of those. Yeah. And when they need some Jesus, they'll come find you. They don't, you can pray till your lips are dry and bleeding and your tongue's falling out, but I'm here to tell you, if you don't realize that God's doing something in your life, if you don't realize that God's doing something in your life and we're not following Jesus, the word says it's sort of like that asking question you ask amiss. You're asking and you're thinking about worldly things, and the Lord says, I've got something so much more valuable. Say valuable. Remember what I started out today? I said about Black Friday and how all of the people were crammed in trying to get in to save a few dollars in their pockets. Could you imagine? Just if we in this church right here, this body, could you imagine if we truly, truly realize the value of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, my goodness. You would never miss another Sunday. You'd never miss another opportunity to praise his name. You'd never miss another opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, as long as there's breath in my lungs, I'm going to praise your holy name. We wouldn't be cussing people out when we see them on the highway. We'd start praying for them because we know they're in need of a Savior. We wouldn't be frustrated with our enemies, our friends, our people that we have school with or work with. Or we wouldn't get frustrated when they miss, you know, say do something like we used to do. That's the really kicker. The things we used to do now we hate. Oh, look at that heathen. Well, 2 years ago, you were doing the same thing. Did some Christian call you heathen? Maybe, you know, that's probably why you got that way. But anyway, you know, God's doing something, and he's ready to pour out his spirit in this day, in this age. Excuse me. Luke chapter 13. I'm getting close. I'm getting real close. Tell you what. I believe there's some folks here this morning. I'm going to skip that scripture and go to the next one. I believe there's some folks that's here this morning that you are so close to stepping in to the promises of God. The promises of God. There's some folks that are so close that you're right on the verge, and the devil's been telling you, "Nah, don't worry about it, give up. You don't need to. You might as well go somewhere. You might as well try. You might as well do. You might as well." Don't listen to him. Realize he's a liar and the truth ain't in him, the Bible says. Realize that God wants us to get ready for what he's got in store for you. Say me. He wants us to seek the kingdom of God. Some people that you're going through some things and you're trying to understand why. Oh my goodness. How many of you have asked the question why? Are y'all lying? How many of y'all asked the question why? Come on, everybody. Don't know. You thought I was going to answer it for you, huh? I don't know. I can tell you this, that when you follow God, the why will come into play. You will find out why down the road. Say down the road. You'll look back and you'll say, that's why. Because he was doing that in my life. He was taking this away. He was stopping me from getting involved with such and such and so and so and ooh. And oh, wow, God, you're good. Then all of a sudden he's good. Of course, when we're going through it, we don't think that all the time. Lord, why are you doing this to me? And then we do something like David said, though you slay me, yet will I serve you, Lord. That's what David said. I said that. I've said it.
Amen.
What?
Yes.
He's doing something. Say something. Promotion's coming. Now watch this. Promotion's coming. But you know, sometimes we sing that song around here. I took back what the devil stole from me. I took back what the devil stole. I need you to stand on your feet, please. I'm done. Watch this. Reach out with both hands. Because if you only reach out with one hand, you're only going to get one handful. But there's some folks here that want two hands full. So just go ahead and grab back. Lord, say, I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. I'm taking it back. I'm not going to allow him to steal my joy, my happiness, my love, my mercy, my compassion. Oh, if that's what God wants to do in your life, say amen. Amen. For it is written, watch this, in 2 Timothy 1. I'm going to read a few scriptures and then I'm going to pray for you. Therefore, I remind you, that's you, okay? Therefore, I remind you to stir up, say stir up, the gift of God which was in you through the laying on of my hands, this is the disciple. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, say power, love, and a sound mind. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Hey, when the time comes for you to share your testimony with your friends and your enemies, don't let the devil steal that opportunity. Tell him, say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Who has saved us and called us by a holy calling. He calls your name today, not according to your works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Oh, God knew you'd be here today. He knew you'd be setting your feet upon him. He knew that you would be taken back with the enemy stole. And he's not going to allow your foot to be stumbled. He's not going to allow you to stumble. What? Oh, you might get burnt. You might have to put a Band-Aid on. You might have to put some Neosporin on it. Or otherwise known as Holy Ghost. And then you put the Jesus Band-Aid on. And then you start giving him a little worship and praise and hallelujah. Glorify your name, God. And watch what he's going to do. There, 2 Corinthians 5. It says, therefore, if anyone, if, say if. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Amen. He is a new, say new.
New.
Oh, I'm a new creation. You see, the old man has passed away. Oh, I'm a new creation. Behold, all things become new. Say new.
New.
Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today is a new day. Today, don't look back no more. Don't look back at the things where you slipped and fall. Don't look back. Oh, but look what, because the devil's going to say, look what you did. Say, yeah, but you're a liar because I'm washed in the blood. I'm forgiven. How many of you know you're forgiven? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness, Lord. We just ask you right now that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. Let promotion come, oh God. Let your rewards be poured back into your people, Lord. Restore the joy of the Lord. Restore the happiness, Lord. Restore, Lord, what the enemy tried to take away. Lord, we just ask you to fill your people's hearts with a fresh anointing. In Jesus' name, and everyone say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I hope to see you next week. If you've never accepted